Welcome to today's episode of Mastering Grad School. I'm Daphne Westerling from the College of Graduate Studies.
And I'm Rachel Carvajal, also with the College of Graduate Studies.
Whether you're a current student navigating the complexities of online learning or a graduate gearing up the exciting yet sometimes nerve-wracking next steps, we've got an important conversation ahead. Today, we're diving into some common challenges many students face, academic and test anxiety, and how to manage these pressures in a healthy way. We'll also touch on the incredible support offered by counseling and accessibility services, which can be a game changer during stressful times. Plus, we'll be talking about what comes after graduation, how to navigate the registration process, and applying for graduation at Sol Ross State University and SRSU International. Whether you're on the path to finishing your degree or taking your next steps as an alum, we've got tips and resources that can help you. Today, we have Mr. Ronnie Harris and Mrs. Rebecca Percoco. Mrs. Rebecca Percoco received her Bachelor's of Science in Geosciences from Angelo State University in 2011. She has completed some graduate courses in geology before moving on to the Master of Business Administration at Sol Ross State University. She is expected to graduate this May. Woo! Rebecca has served as Associate Registrar for 5 years. Mr. Ronnie Harris is one of our counselors at Sol Ross State University. He received his bachelor's degree in psychology in 2001, following with his two master degrees in political science in 2003 and counseling in 2010, all from Sol Ross State University. Mr. Harris has been fully licensed since 2014 and has worked with various populations, concentrations, primarily on youth and youthing adults. Mr. Harris uses cognitive, behavioral, and solution-focused therapy techniques to help his clients develop solutions to address their concerns. The Counseling and Accessibility Services Office provides short-term solution-focused counseling services to Sol Ross State University students, faculty, and staff. They also provide counseling to faculty and staff members' families as time allows. Lastly, they also help students set up their academic and housing accommodations. Welcome!
Yeah, thank you guys so much for joining us on this Monday after spring break, where we're all a little foggy-brained, but we made it.
Yes.
Okay, so I know we want to start by talking to Ronnie about the counseling and accessibility services. And if you just want to give us like a really sort of general overview of what you guys can offer for our grad students, and especially our online grad students, how can they access your support services?
Okay. So for our counseling, our online students, for our online students, generally what we do is we provide them mental health services by just we can either set up the counseling sessions using Zoom. It's kind of what we kind of use. And what we do is we talk to them kind of about what things are kind of what's kind of issues are kind of going on, and then help them kind of develop solutions and strategies on how to address those issues. We deal with students a lot of times are dealing with issues with stress, anxiety, depression. Those are kind of the three primary things we end up kind of helping students with along the way.
Cause yeah, as like an online student, you know, there's like this like, oh, well, I'm at home. I'm not in a classroom setting. I'm online. Why should I have anxiety?
Speaking as an online grad student right now, check.
It still happens. Even if you're an online student, I mean, you still get that, oh, I have to submit that test,
or, yeah,
you know, I have to study up for that. Even if you're not in classroom setting, I think.
Yeah, because one of the things that happens with our online students, sometimes they have difficulty with, if they have a time management, if they struggle with time management.
Yes.
You know, and so they're kind of like, okay, this is an online class, you know, so I can do it whenever I get ready to. And then
except, it's kind of like
the day before.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of like, oh, wait a minute, you know, I've got this paper due, I've got this test that I need to do. And, you know, they didn't plan for that correctly. And mm-hmm. So their stress and anxiety kind of goes up, kind of addressing that.
Gotcha. So part of your solutions with Counseling and Accessibility Center is not only mental health stress management, it's also time management, things that you wouldn't necessarily immediately tie to mental health, but things that will help you manage your mental health, such as the time management and or test taking anxiety right. sort of management sort of thing. So it's not all, I mean, I'm afraid we still have this way of viewing mental health counseling and therapy as something that you only need if you're like deeply in need or deeply unwell, or, you know, but it's not that. It's for everybody. I worked for the Counseling and Accessibility Services at one point many years ago. And yeah, one of the things that we learned, and we wanted to try and let everybody know, all students across the board, you don't have to be in dire straits. You can just, you know, and maintenance mental health is always preferable to emergency mental health care, right? I mean, right. So.
Because one of the things we do is because when we meet with them, even with our undergraduate students, we kind of meet with them, you know, doing like the freshman seminars, and we kind of tell them, it's like, okay, let's get ahead of this. You know, right. When you start feeling, you know, when you have like these changes, like your emotions, you know, so you feel more irritable, you feel, you know, maybe anxiety kind of increase, you know, all these kind of different kind of negative kind of emotions, you know, let's talk to someone before it gets to the point where, you know, you can't, it's affecting your ability to function.
Yeah.
And yeah. So we will, a lot of times we will just kind of, you know, talking about kind of what that looks like, you know, so it's, can it be time management? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's, you know, kind of prioritizing what needs to happen. You know, it's like, great, you know, you want to hang out with your friends, you know, this weekend, you've got a test, you know, what does that look like? You know, helping them kind of address kind of sleep issues, you know?
Yes. Oh, sleep, like, I bet is a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I get in this, you know, it's like, well, it's like, how can I say it? Knowing when to put up the phone.
You know, yes. Does anybody here know how to do that? Because I don't. Absolutely yeah. not. Yeah. 2:30 doom scrolling? What? Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. And kind of forgetting, you know, so I will kind of talk to students during the counseling session, you know, about, you know, it's kind of like, okay, realizing that blue light that's on yeah. kind of the phone mm-hmm. mimics, you know, like sun, you
daylight,
know,
so right? daylight.
And so it affects your ability to go to sleep. So yeah. talking about trying to put that, you know, okay, what time do you need to get up the next day? Let's put the phone, you know, try to put the phone up at this time, you know, kind of things along that line.
Right, right.
And that seems to, for the students, when they actually utilize the strategy,
yeah, we're talking of course. About, it helps,
you know, so, yeah. When oh, yeah. they don't, yeah. it's kind of like, okay, well, it's like, okay, so I got 3 hours of sleep and I had trouble focusing on my test. Okay.
Yeah, let's go back and talk about why, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, just know that the counseling center is more than just emergency or crisis. It's there to help you maintain stability throughout yeah. your college career. And again, we want to emphasize it is for everybody. It is accessible to everybody, whether you're online, local, any of that. You can set up Zoom appointments.
Right.
So we also have, we've heard about timely care. Can you talk to us about timely care?
Yeah. So timely care is a mental health platform that Sarasa and a lot of the universities in the Texas state system contract with to provide online mental health services for our students. For some reason, occasionally students, they aren't comfortable meeting with us, you know, as you know, for whatever reason, they have concerns about confidentiality, even though we do discuss with them that, you know, all the students, you know, it's confidential, you know, we kind of talking about that, still they may have that stigma.
Sure.
Also, the fact is our office hours are from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. And sometimes for whatever reason, that time doesn't work for them for counseling. Of course. And if they need services on the weekend.
Right.
So so that service is provided to them. And then what they would do is just kind of, you know, you can search timely care. We do provide students with them in their email. With all of our emails that we send out to students, we do have a link for timely care on that. And so what they do is that they can access that and they get 9 free sessions through timely care.
Over how many, like a period, was it yearly or just at all?
I think at all.
Okay.
So okay. at all. So, you know, it's kind of, and so what'll happen is, so they'll have the 9 free sessions, you know, with them. And then if they want to continue services after that, I think it's like $75 a session after that.
Okay.
If for some reason they, you know, they get comfortable with, you know, the person that the counselor they're working with and they want to continue, they can do that.
Got it. So it's a little bit of a stopgap.
It measure. It is. But a lot of times with people, especially when they're looking at, you know, like a solution, you know, kind of focus thing, you know,
right.
a lot of times it's developing strategies on how to manage that. Because like I said, stress is, you know, it's a part of grad school.
Yes, it is.
And so it's kind of for us, and even with time of care, kind of helping the students kind of figure out how to manage that.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Let's see. And then after, you know, you get to those 9 sessions, you know, and the students are kind of like, you know, well, they still want to go to counseling, but, you know, they don't really want to pay that $75. Then what happens is time of care, we have an agreement with them where they will refer them back to us.
Okay. Oh, nice.
And then we will kind of help them kind of figure out, it's like, okay, what is your next step?
Do you want to do that? So sort of a, it would be a good introduction to therapy for some students. Maybe those 9 sessions would be enough time to really sort of get a feel for therapy, how it works, and then see, you know, sort of therapy trial basis.
Yeah. And for a lot of people, I mean, generally, they don't always need that many sessions.
Right.
You know, there are some people who, you know, I've met with, you know, for, you know, about 4 or 5 sessions where, you know, they figure out kind of what they need to do, the utilizing strategy we would talk about, and they're able to kind of manage kind of the stress that kind of comes
about. Gotcha.
Let's see. That's kind of it on that one.
Okay. So we as of the time of recording, we have just come back from spring break, which means we've just survived midterms, hopefully.
Yeah.
Actually, I have one.
I think there's still some midterms going on this week.
Yeah. Thank you.
Grading is open through Friday.
Oh, gosh. So we're dealing with midterms, but right around the corner, of course, are finals, and we should be hitting finals by about the time that this gets published or pushed out to everybody.
Yeah.
So we want to give some mental health tips and tricks for our grad students pre-finals, pre-graduation, if you have anything to impart.
We'll make things up. A lot of focusing on kind of self-care. You know, a lot of times kind of students, they get kind of stressed out, and that affects kind of, you know, their eating habits, you know,
right.
Actually, you know, it's like, you know, them, you know, again, not eating nutritious foods and kind of focusing on a lot of the junk food.
Or at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Or at mm-hmm. all. Right. You know, again, not being, you know, hydrated, you know.
Hydration is so important. You know. It really, like,
you're talking about coffee. You can just drink solidly coffee. Absolutely. Right?
No, I read an article. I read an article that's like, coffee is hydration. You are fine. You are fine. Don't listen to your heart.
Because I mean, that is one of the things, because we do, you know, it's like, you know, the overconsumption of coffee, you know, caffeine in general.
It's the caffeine. Yeah.
It's problematic, mm-hmm. you know. And so,
decaf is fine.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I was going to say, my best friend, she will be like, oh, I'll be fine. I just need to be a little bit more awake today. She'll drink an energy drink. Her anxiety levels go through the roof. It makes everything worse.
Right.
So
kind of helping students kind of make the connection between that. It's like, and you know, it's like if you're drinking energy drinks or whatever it is, you know, 11 o'clock at night, you know, your sleep is going to be affected.
That's the other part.
And the main thing is a lot of times it's the sleep, the kind of their sleep schedule, you know, like getting people to kind of realize you actually do need sleep.
You really do. You need water and you need sleep.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't think people recognize that until like they're 30 years old at least. Or like,
it's like, oh, well, because when you're in your 20s, it doesn't affect you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're invincible in your 20s. When you start to hit your 30s, it's like, ooh, reality.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And the other things we look at is some type of physical activity.
Yes.
Whatever it is. You know, it's like, what we know is like people when, you know, decreased amount of sunlight that they kind of get, you know, it's kind of, you know, their depression levels can decrease in there. So, you know, whether it's going for a walk, sitting outside, you know, if you want to get into a regular exercise routine, that's great. But, you know, doing something kind of makes, you know, manage your physical health is important.
I've always, because I live in the body positive, body neutrality world, right? And so there's a lot of stigma around exercise and everything that, like, you know, but what I want to impart is that joyful movement is really all you need.
Right.
And what I'm, you know, what that means is just any sort of movement that makes you feel good, feel better, feel okay. And that, like you said, it could just be as much as a walk or, I mean, the pool is open, guys.
Yes,
like the pool is open. Uh-huh. Mary Rose is doing an amazing swim class. It's like, looks pretty intense. I will be joining eventually. Mm-hmm. but, you know, Sal Ross offers so many opportunities. Like the hill is right there. The desk is right there. Even just walking the campus.
We've got outdoor classroom space.
Oh, we do have, that's right. We have quite a few outdoor classroom spaces. You know, utilize that for your study. Get seriously, touch grass. It's so cliche, but it is so, so true. And it's so effective, especially as we're coming out of these winter months and the cold and it's starting to get sunshiny, take advantage of that. I swear, even just like a 5-minute walk will change your day. And then hydration on top of that. I know that like I get really anxious if I'm not drinking enough water. I notice that there's a direct correlation between that. And so that's like the one healthy habit that I have is I drink about a gallon of water a day. Yeah. That's it. I think that's good. That's enough healthy for me. Mm-hmm. But so.
Awesome. Also, people maintaining like connections, social activity, connections to others is really important. Graduate school can be really isolating from the standpoint of, you know, it's like you've got so much academic things that are kind of going on.
Especially for our online students.
And so it's kind of making sure that, you know, you make time for, you know, whether it's friends, family, you know, a lot of people, you know, their pets are kind of their social.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they're kind of social outlet. So, you know, take care, you know, with petting cats, you know, taking the dogs for walks, and all these things. These things that, you know, I've had students kind of come in, you know, we kind of talked about, you know, what does that kind of look like, you know? Yeah, we talked about time management kind of earlier, you know, just kind of setting yourself up for success.
Yes.
You know, and kind of looking at, okay, so I've got this research paper due whenever this is going to be, you know, breaking that up into, you know, smaller segments so that you're not at the last minute trying to cram all that in.
The whole thing, right? Exactly.
Totally new concept.
Because there's no professor, like, you know,
reminding you or keeping you on track. Yeah, exactly.
In one classroom, like reminding, oh, by the way, you got
this is coming up or whatever.
Yeah, it's
some do. Some do.
I know for two of my faculty this semester, we are getting at least one weekly reminder.
Yeah, I've got.
You have this coming up this week.
And then I've got faculty who have checked entirely out of the
But even
class.
Beyond that, that's one reminder. That's not a daily reminder.
No, exactly.
Right.
I need to set reminders like on that email in my inbox so I can just every day be like, hey, don't forget about this. You know you're gonna forget about this.
Yeah. And I've done that with students, like, you know, it's like they're on their phone so much.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of like, all right, just set up reminders on your phone. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, again, you know, just something to kind of keep you kind of again motivated and on track to what you need to do.
Right.
The syllabus is your friend.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And if you have questions about the syllabus, communicate with your professors.
Yes.
You know,
communication. Is key.
Yeah. One of the things we're looking at earlier today is like refusing to play the stress game.
Okay.
And so what that is like graduate students, sometimes they will compare each other, like who is the most stressed out.
Ugh.
And you
that's
know,
that's not so, helpful.
Right. And it kind of feeds into that it's negative, you know, kind of stigma and kind of what that kind of
looks
like.
The more stressed you are and the more successful you are.
Right.
Or kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Or just, you know, it's not a competition, y'all.
Yeah.
Like, right. Exactly.
And you should not be competing over who is stressed.
Right.
You know, I see that in my colleagues a lot where they're competing over who can get, like, who's being asked to do the most that's not necessarily appropriate. You know what I mean? It's sort of. Same, it's not helpful.
Playing cards. Like, okay,
I could say that to chronic health problems, though, a lot, though, because, you know, what you may be experiencing right now could be the absolute worst you've ever experienced in your life, but it could be different for somebody else.
Yeah.
And so, like, kidney stones for me was, honestly, I laughed at a friend when they experienced kidney stones because it was humorous to me, but I had also had them chronically at that point. And I was like, you know what? I shouldn't have. I'm really sorry because for you, that was the worst pain in your life you'd ever experience. There is no comparison.
No, exactly.
It's really not because people handle stress differently,
you
know? And so it's kind of looking, okay, how is your stress level affecting you? And what can you do to kind of manage your stress level? And that's kind of a lot of times what I kind of focus with people on that. Let's see, letting go of perfectionism, you know, you know, I mean, just because, you know, when you're in grad school, you know, you're automatically kind of a high academic achieving person, you know, but the fact is, it's like, you know, every paper you're turning in is not going to be a plus. You know, it's not, you know, it's, you know.
You take that back right now.
But, you know, it's kind of, you know, getting kind of understanding that. You
know that it is okay. It is okay to not be perfect.
Yeah.
Guys, when you've got your master's degree, when you've got your degree, they're not out there looking at like, oh my God, look, she made a 75 on this one paper. We are not hiring that one.
Tell my brain that.
No, I know. I'm trying to. I'm desperately trying to tell my own brain that too, because what is it? I can't remember the quote, and I'm not even going to try because it's just. But perfectionism serves no one, and you've got your degree, and that piece of paper is what you need, and the rest of it, getting there, do what you got to do to get there. That paper is the goal, And if it means saving yourself some stress and heartache by accepting that, like, yeah, you're not going to be perfect.
Right. I mean, because if you've done everything that you can do, you know, you've studied mm-hmm. whatever things, mm-hmm. and you just have a bad day. Everybody's entitled to a bad mm-hmm. day every now and then, you know. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You know?
And again, no comparison across right. the board. We have so many non-traditional students here.
Absolutely.
People that are working full time, people that have kids,
international students.
Jobs. I mean, like, there's so much more than just grad school going on
yeah.
for them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't even got, you know, talking about that yet. Kind of what if things kind of can cause kind of this increase in kind of, you know, the stress, you know, and, you know, because there is kind of the financial stress. You
oh,
know?
Yes. Big one.
You know, we've got the, you know, the kind of the family work school balance thing that, you mm-hmm. know, a lot of people are kind of feeling, figuring out. Because again, if you're in grad school, a lot of times you are and you're in a relationship, you know, that time you're taking time away from your family
right.
to address the academic concerns. Right. And, you know,
yeah.
having a supportive partner and very understand important. That is very important. You know, mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. Where was I going to go with the next one? Sorry.
Oh, you're good.
I was going to say, for those of y'all out there in the same discipline fields as one another, mm-hmm. like if you can have your partner be a study partner,
I was going to say, it must
highly like, recommend.
I wonder, like, yeah, that must be so nice because you and Dom are both in the same program on the same track.
Buddies.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
And we also, you know, kind of mess each other up though sometimes. Cause like if I'm the responsible one this week for going, oh, like here's our assignments mm-hmm. and we've got it. We have a calendar now in the house that has everything on it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like if I forget and I don't remind him and he's, you know, relying on me or vice versa, we can totally screw each other up. But having somebody there being like, okay, you're having problems with this concept and yeah. I understand it. Can you explain it to me? And
right.
that's really nice to have a built in.
Where that community, which is where that community piece comes back in. And I think we're finding as we go along and the, you know, existential horrors that exist. I think the thing that we're sort of coming back to over and over again is the importance of community and how it plays such a role in every aspect of our lives. And that's what we really need to be focusing on fostering. So graduates, guys, there's still clubs that you can be a part of. There's still plenty of things, ways to reach out and participate and be a part of a community.
You have access to the rosters on the Blackboard.
That's true. Yeah. So I mean, you can
email
see
your classmates and
who's
like
in your class and reach out. Absolutely. I mean, I have people do that with me all the time with our classes. And you're nobody's saying you have to be best friends or whatever, but like definitely reach out, make your grad class, your community, lean on each other, find the ones you can lean on, but foster that wherever you can. And it really, really, really helps to have that support. Yeah,
definitely. I think the last thing I wanted to kind of again, if anything, reach out for help. You know, when
yes.
you start, you know, when you start feeling like things are kind of getting overwhelming or anything like that, please reach out. You know, it's like you can come to our office. You know, if you're, you know, talking to your professor, you know, kind of letting them know kind of what's going on. Mm-hmm. One of the things I love about Sol Ross is that it's a small enough university where you actually get to know your professors.
Yes, we do talk so about it a lot.
And mm-hmm. so kind of talking to them about, hey, you know, it's like, this is kind of what's going on. And I, for the most part, if you will communicate with your professors ahead of time, you know, about what's going on, they're willing to work with you.
Yes.
You know, if you wait until something is due the day before, that's not,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, sometimes it's harder.
It really is, you know, unless, I mean, and again, if it's an emergency situation, well, yes.
You want to keep in mind that your faculty are people too. They're very, very busy. A lot of the time they're overwhelmed as well. So just approach it as you would another human being, as you would appear, you know, have the same grace and patience you would like to be shown. And it's trite or whatever, but like, I just feel like we all need a little bit of a reminder that no matter what we're doing at this university, we are all people just, you know, trying to make it.
Yeah.
So, be kind, be patient, understand nobody's trying to frustrate you. And we understand that you're not trying to be frustrated. So I think that, that would help, you know, everybody across the board, just to adopt sort of that mindset. I mean, we want to stop being stressed. We can stop being sources of stress maybe. So,
yeah. And I forgot to mention earlier, the accommodations.
Yes. We definitely want to talk about, accommodations.
So, with accommodations, what happened? So students, what we have is, so for a student to to like request academic accommodations, they do have to have a diagnosis of some sort.
Okay.
You know, so whether that be academic or mental health, you know, diagnosis. So okay. For example, you know, if someone, you know, was diagnosed with ADHD, you know, dyslexia, things are kind of along that lines, then they just need to provide us with documentation of that. And we can discuss what their accommodation is going to look like at that point. You know, whether that's additional time on the test, whether it's a separate testing environment, we can kind of do things kind of along that line.
I remember I was working there. We had to do some students need a different color of paper because it helps them to see. So, I mean, there's any number of ways that we can be accommodated. Because again, all of our focus across the board is to get you guys to be successful academically, because when you're successful, we're successful. So our success hinges on yours, and these accommodations are available, and and it's not that hard to set up, really, truly. And it can make the world of difference. It could mean passing or failing for some students.
And don't be embarrassed to ask. Absolutely. That's something not. That in the registrar's office, we have them come in a lot. Like, what can I do about this? Well, have you been talking to your instructor? You know, I have this, et cetera, diagnosis. Have you been to counseling and accessibility? Like, have you talked to anybody about accommodations? Oh, I don't want to do that.
Right.
And it's
for you.
This is not your failure. This is to help you be more successful. It's just like a little extra tutoring on the side.
I mean, there's not a single thing wrong with any of it.
It's not public, right? Like in a classroom, it would be like, oh, well, I have this accommodation. So everybody knows.
So the way that kind of happens is, and again, you know, because the fact that, you know, this generation of students, they've kind of been more kind of familiar with kind of accepting that people do have mental health diagnoses and things like that. And so sometimes, you know, it's like, so if you got, you know, so again, it is confidential. The professor doesn't even know what your diagnosis is.
That's true. Nice.
You know, it's just a matter of, okay, this is the accommodations. You know, you do need to talk to your professor about your accommodations, because it's kind of like, you know, it's like, you know, if you get, for whatever reason, you needed like extra time on the test, you know, and it's kind of like, if the professor doesn't know that you need extra time on the test, you know, they're going to be like, okay, well, you know, you're not done yet. You know, what's kind of going on? You know, so getting that kind of set up with us. I mean, you get, when you say it's kind of pretty easy, I mean, we're talking 30 minutes usually at most is when the, you know, our meetings are with the students, but it is kind of, again, kind of talking to them. The issue that I've kind of heard from students sometimes is that they are told that when they go to college, that they won't be able to utilize their accommodations.
Oh, that's completely untrue.
It is. But one of the things that happens is like, but now they do look different, you know, we're not going to provide them all the accommodations they had in high school.
Right.
However, you know, when it's kind of like, you know, it's like, let's figure this out. You know, what is kind of going on? You know, okay, if you need extra time, what time of time do you need? You know, if you need a separate testing environment, what that is, you know?
Yeah.
And we
different doesn't mean gone.
Right.
You know,
but the, you know, they, sometimes the education part of it is what is kind of what the barrier we kind of see. So,
That's the purpose of why we've got you on right now. And hopefully we get a big reach with this episode, but yeah, we want to make it abundantly clear that accommodations are super easy to manage. They're super easy to put in place. As a Blackboard administrator for the online classes with faculty, I know that there's a super easy way to instate those accommodations, even online with Blackboard. So there's no reason why you should not be asking for the things that will help you succeed. That is a really actually good habit. And we want to talk about self-care. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good self-care habit to get into, is not being afraid or ashamed to ask for help. You might not always get exactly what you're looking for. You might get told no sometimes, but you should advocate for yourself and ask for what you need and then go from there and then adjust and accommodate from there. But nobody can help you if you're not asking for it.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a good first step.
So I have a question for you then,
real
quick. Is it something that a student has to come into counseling and accessibility every single semester to set up?
Yeah. So, so for, you know, for your academic accommodations, you do have to come in every semester, you know, and I tell students, it's like, okay, when we set them up, you know, it's like, we try to get them set up the first couple of weeks, because what we don't want to happen is they get kind of, you know, the midterms or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of like, I've got a test tomorrow and I need extra time on my test because it's the first test we've had. This we're kind of like, okay, well, we don't know how quickly that's going to happen, because they, you know, again, there has to be kind of a little bit of lead time. You know, we have to be able to kind of meet with the student, kind of, you know, get the letter sent to the professors.
Right.
And, you know, kind of for that to happen.
Yes.
So we do ask students at the beginning of the semester, come get your accommodations kind of set up with us.
Can they start before the semester? Like, can they come talk to you before the semester actually starts if they have their schedule in hand, they're registered to all their classes?
Because again, once they have their schedule kind of, you know, once they know what their schedule is, because we have to know where to be able to send the letters to, you know, and so it's kind of like, you know, so if they, you know, so we're talking, you know, if in, I don't know, let's say December, right? You know, it's kind of like, you know what your classes are going to be for the spring. You don't want to set up your accommodation. Yeah, they can come to our office and we kind of get those set up. And then we send those letters out probably the first week of, you know, the semester.
Awesome.
All right. So, yeah. Any more counseling questions?
I don't have any questions.
Any final, like thoughts, wisdom, tidbits?
Just to understand that, you know, a lot of understanding that coming to counseling is not going to cost you anything additional.
Right.
That's already, it's already part of your student fees. So, you know, it's like, we don't generally place a limit on the number of counseling sessions someone comes to, you know? So it's just a matter of, you know, kind of figuring out what kinds of what's going on, you know? Now, you know, as we kind of talk about, you know, each, you know, like at the end of each semester, it's kind of like, what's going on? You know, what do you feel like you're going to need for next semester? Because ideally what we want to do is we want the student to take the information that we've talked to them about and be able to kind of utilize that kind of going forward, you know, so they don't feel like they have to come to counseling, you know, every week, you know, the entire 4 years are enrolled. So that's the kind of what we want. So,
yeah, you're giving them the tools to thrive on their own, sort of, you know, giving them that off ramp. So I know you guys also, any events coming up or anything that our students should be looking forward to?
Let's see. For April. One thing I did forget to mention. So is that we, at beginning of each month, with like the first Thursday of each month, we do have what's called Counselor's Corner. And what we do is we kind of set up at the UC and we just have like, it'll be kind of a different mental health topic that we kind of do have information available to the students about. And then, you know, if students want to kind of stop by and talk to us about more, you know, about more detail about that, we do that as well.
That's great. What a good way to do outreach.
Yeah. So we do that. What was the other part of your question?
Oh, just any events or anything students should look forward to.
So April is a sexual assault awareness month.
That's right.
And so that's kind of what we're kind of doing, you know, like this month. So working with the Family Crisis Center and working with the Psychology Club. And we're just kind of, again, doing different events during this, during the month. So there'll be, I can't remember all those on top of my head, but I know it's like, you know, put a nail in it, you know, the one where, you know, that you kind of, you paint, I think it's your ring finger.
Yeah.
You paint your, you paint that, you know, we've got that kind of going on, for the softball team at the end of this month. It'll be, they'll do like a, we call it a raffle, you know, for it. We'll be kind of doing, you know, that, you know, as far as, you know, they'll have to pay, you know, pay money to kind of do the raffle, and a portion of the money from that raffle will go to the Family Crisis Center.
All right, cool.
So we're doing things like that. And then we'll just have kind of different activities and kind of events kind of going on. And I cannot remember all those off the top of my head.
No worries. But, yeah, I don't know.
But you can check on the Soros, the, like the calendar, you know, that they'll be on there. And then we should have the information on our website, on our part of the web.
And I do see emails coming through regularly from Counseling Center. Yeah. So another tip, guys, hot tip, check your emails. I mean, it sounds so obvious, but for real, check your email.
Your Sol Ross student email,
the @solross.edu email. Promise y'all, a lot of these questions can be answered by reading your emails. And that's also how you stay involved with the campus community. And that's how you build that community, is keeping up with the emails and showing up to stuff. So thank you so much, Ronnie.
Thank you so much.
That sounds, I have hope for our grad students who are going to make it. We're mentally. All right. So next we have Rebecca, and I'm going to turn it over to Daphne, because Daphne works as a graduate student.
Yes. It's our time. It's our time.
Just kidding. No pressure.
We do know an email went out with deadlines for graduation applications.
Right. Yes.
Our commencement is coming up. Our commencement session or term or series.
Day.
Day. Commencement day.
Just one day. Events. There's two of them, because we do have multiple campuses. And so we host a commencement in Alpine, and we host a commencement ceremony in Eagle Pass as well.
Yeah. And I like to kind of keep it like, we're kind of, it's like Christmas Day and we're just working up like 365 days of year. And then this is our day.
That is honestly like, it is like Christmas for me. I love commencement. It is the probably, I would say second most chaotic day in the registrar's office throughout an entire year, because not Sully Showcase, but orientation days, I think, are singly the most chaotic in our office. But commencement has such a good bonus, present at the end, that you get to untie.
Exactly.
You get to see all the students. Hard work come to fruition. And,
Yeah, I just love to see their faces when we get to, oh, I know who you are, but just the name.
Yes.
They're like, who are you? And how do you know my name?
I have absolutely scared people.
We're always watching. Yes.
And I love it. I love getting to see all the smiles and just getting to see their families. And it's great.
It's really great. It's a joyful, joyful event.
And so we just wanted to kind of what the process is getting to that, right?
And not giving Rebecca a heart attack on the day.
We do not do that.
And how we can kind of alleviate the process. Well, just kind of facilitate of what we need to do, our checkpoints on the exit, on the inside of graduating from Soros State University and Soros State University International. So we do have to apply.
Yes. And I would say first things first, even before you do that, make sure you're familiar with your degree plan.
Yeah.
There's a lot of students that are out there that do not realize that they have access to their degree plan online.
It's right on your portal. If you go to MySRSU,
it's very top right corner.
Degree plan. Yeah. Keep track of that. Make sure that it looks the way that you think it should look and that you're making the progress that you think you should make.
And that you're in the degree that you think you are in the program that you think you're supposed to be in. Because sometimes
you guys would be amazed at what sometimes sort of falls through the cracks, right?
Yeah. Or just technical glitches. Right. You know, our student information system is not idiot proof.
No, of course.
And not that we're idiots, but fatigue and stress and just all of the things going on. They're
humans.
We're humans. Yeah. You make mistakes. So, and everything is fixable.
Yes. That's the thing. That is, if you communicate.
Yes. If you don't.
And stay on top of things.
Then we don't know what's happening.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
So does that mean for when I was finishing up my undergrad degree, I didn't know. I knew about the application, how to submit it, how to fill it out. But I just didn't know what, do I have to fill it out or does my advisor have to fill out the application for me?
And that's a good question. Because honestly, as an undergrad, I don't remember filling out a graduation application. I'm pretty sure I had to.
We must have, but I don't remember at all.
Such a blur.
I had a really nice advisor take care of me. I have no idea.
Did I even have an advisor?
But we do have an online graduation application. We are working on making that more accessible each semester, just because we know there's been problems with it in the past. You can also come into an Eagle Pass office or the registrar's office in Alpine and fill out a paper graduation application. But that is the students. The students need to fill that out. Let me get very close to the microphone.
Students fill out your graduation application.
And if you have questions on that, start with your advisor if you don't see an advisor listed on your degree plan, you're not sure who that is, go to your chair, go to your dean, use the directory on our website. If you really
ask the third floor, we can help you.
Grad
students, that is part of what we are here to help you with. If you have those sorts of questions, if we don't know, we can find out, but we can certainly help you get through your questions. So utilize us. That is what we are there for. College of Grad Studies. Add over.
Yeah. You can email gradcenter@sorosa.edu, and that will go to myself and my director and my dean, Dr. Laura Payne. And so I will so I can assist with graduate students. They're not really called advisors, what I understand. Some are advisors and then some are program coordinators.
Right.
And so if you have any questions about, you can email us and we'll be sure to
provide
you that content.
Yeah, and that's fine. I'm always happy to answer questions. But I have the paper graduation application in front of me. And it's really straightforward. So it's just going to ask you your personal information, your name, your A number, and your permanent address so that we can send a notice to your hometown newspaper that this person is graduating.
Oh my gosh. No. Yeah. And I was like, how did they know? When I did my undergrad and my grandpa reads the paper, he's like, oh my God, you're on the, we were on the paper.
Aww.
I was like, how did they know? How do you know that? Okay.
That's part of the graduation.
I did not know that. Okay.
And then the provost's office also lists that in the, program. Mm, so right. when you're actually at the ceremony and you see the program, that information that's how you, that is gets listed there. In
okay.
there. And I personally opted out of that because I should be graduating at the end of the semester. And I have not lived anywhere long enough in one consecutive time frame to like consider anything a hometown anymore.
I know, but we've adopted you.
So I was like I don't really want to put anything on there. So like if you don't want to, we may be like, hey, did you leave this off there by mistake or did you intentionally omit that information? But like that part is, I would say, optional.
Okay.
I may also have registrars like in the background screaming like, no, put it on there. So don't quote me on that. But it's going to have a degree checkbox on the application. So like if you're an undergrad, are you doing a Bachelor of Science, Bachelor of Arts, Bachelor of Business Administration? For grad students, there's going to be a checklist for master's programs in there. So same thing, master's of science, master's of education, master's of business. And then for those of you who are doing like thesis programs, it's going to ask you your major and possibly your concentration. Graduate students don't often have a concentration or a minor, but right. some programs do, like history right. technically has some built in there.
I think some of our CJ,
like our certificates. Those, like, if you're not sure, okay. that's on your degree plan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All of that double check your degree. Is listed on your degree.
Or find one of us, email grad
center at Soros.
I don't see the email. I just know it exists.
You can also search it on our Outlook. No, pop up.
Okay. Yeah.
And it'll ask for thesis titles for those students that are pursuing the thesis options uh-huh. of their degree plans. It'll ask if they're enrolled in courses elsewhere. That's going to be more commonly for our undergraduate students who are transferring in a course at the last semester. Than grad students.
Okay.
But that is a question could, that, right. you know, if you're a grad student, you can maybe ignore that part and just be like, NA. Uh-huh. And then are you repeating any courses? Because that is important. Because what if you previously failed a course? Or what if you, maybe you got a D
right.
in a graduate level course and that was not high enough to meet the degree requirements? It is important for the registrar's office to have that little flag to say, oh, we repeated this course, their GPA is going to shift
when
prior
saying.
Courses excluded.
So if they happen to be repeating any courses at the time that they are ready to apply for graduation,
yes.
then you guys need to know that so that you're not counting the previous classes towards yes. the requirements.
And so when we look at it, we're not like, hey, you're also missing this requirement. And you're like, no, I'm already registered in this class. Your degree plan will show that.
Right.
And we're shifting application periods a little bit later than we used to have.
Okay.
So it used to be the start of the spring semester, like day one, you could apply for summer and fall
okay.
graduation. We are now shifting that to when registration opens
okay.
for those terms. That way you can register for your classes first
sense.
And then apply to graduate. So you have like your whole checklist is kind of already in place.
So I remember you told me that I should, and I did, I put in my graduation application
Yay!
This semester for next semester. Is that
for fall?
For fall.
Yes.
Right. So that's about as early as you want to.
So students who have tried to do that this semester already, some of them we may have just been like, okay, we have it. Uh-huh. Some of them we may have told them, please submit your graduation application at a later date.
Okay.
So after March 31st or after you've registered, just let us
right.
know. And that is ultimately the goal. So we're not having to go through that degree audit multiple times
that makes
and
sense.
Then potentially give you bad advice.
Okay. So I might've been a little early, like the semester of is probably the better time to apply.
The semester before is still the time to apply.
Okay, good. So I did do it right.
So if you're listening to this now,
after I've confused everybody,
it can be really confusing and it's confusing to me sometimes too, honestly. It's the spring semester right now. If
yes.
you're looking at completing your degree in summer, then you can apply in the spring semester, which our date right now is when summer registration opens.
Got it.
So not give you any specific dates.
Right.
That's
of
kind of what we're looking at for the future.
Yeah.
For fall, it's going to be the same thing because registration opens at the same time as summer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at completing in the fall, go ahead and apply as soon as fall registration opens during the spring.
Got it. That's what I did. Okay, good. Good, good, good.
If you're looking at graduating in the spring, then you can apply as soon as spring registration opens in the fall semester.
Got it.
And yes, so once I'm getting it.
Okay. So around November, December, around there.
Right.
November.
And everybody's like, why do I have to apply that early? And I'm sure like when we had talked about that, that was extra, extra early. And it's so we can review like the registrar's office, your advisors, your dean, especially if you're, you know.
So you're like in the system and you're like being seen and it's not like going to be any sort of last
minute. And there's no last minute surprises. That's the big thing. There's no last minute surprises.
Right.
Like I didn't realize I had to take a comprehensive exam, right?
Yeah.
That's a big one for students. And that's something you need to schedule in advance with your advisor, your chair, your dean, whoever it is that you're communicating with about all of this. And then if there's something that you just missed seeing in your degree planner, if you haven't been looking at it closely the whole time, that gives us the opportunity to review that and let you know, hey, you're also missing like this one class. You need 3 hours in whatever, or your grades weren't so great at some point. So you didn't quite hit that minimum GPA mark. And so here's what we would recommend, you know, or talk to your advisor, really.
Right.
That's going to be the big thing. Talk to your advisor, but the registrar's office may have some communication in the background to your advisor for that of like, the student does not meet minimum GPA requirements. They do not have the minimum number of hours required. They have not finished their comprehensive exam. It's all of those checkboxes.
Got it. And so earlier, the better.
Yeah. The semester before. And then if you apply the semester before, there's usually a second deadline after that.
Okay.
So right now our application deadline for spring is a week after the last date of withdrawal for the spring semester.
Okay.
Okay. So, and that's,
and you guys are pushing those dates out in their emails.
Yes. And the home website to the registrar's office.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And it's on there. The first day of class too, or within the first week of class, there's going to be an email from the registrar's office. That's like important dates. And all
and they mean that
a lot of information,
but just put it in a, put it in a saved folder and you can refer back to it. But definitely don't just like, oh, register, delete, like, no, read these things or at least skim them, guys.
We
come
don't
on.
Email students all that often.
No, exactly. Exactly. So if you see,
I've had a discussion with several students before. If you see an email from registrar's office, like, I know you're like, oh, whatever, club email.
I know.
If you see an email from the registrar's office, please read it.
Or at least save it for later.
Skim it, something, look at it. Don't just delete it. But there will be an initial application date the semester prior to when you intend to graduate. That application fee should be $30.
Yes.
If you apply after the deadline for that, whenever it is on the academic calendar, read your emails. There will be an additional $25 late fee. And so typically that's going to be like during the semester. So if we had students who hadn't applied for spring graduation until like today, they're going to see a $55 application
fee. Got it.
Fee.
All right. All right. Save yourself some money.
Exactly.
Then. Yeah.
And stress. Save yourself some stress.
Yes. Save Rebecca some stress.
So I'm not the degree auditor, but I do have a lot to do in that.
Yes.
We have multiple individuals that work on degree auditing and graduation components in our office. So everyone does effectively touch that.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like actual commencement and trying to communicate with the students, like, yeah, please save yourself stress. Please save our office stress. Save the bookstore some stress.
Oh my gosh, right. And understand, y'all, you cannot just be like, okay, I'm finished with my coursework. I'm going to show up at commencement and graduate, right?
No submission of application needed. Just go.
You cannot do that. You cannot just be like, I'm graduating. You'll be sad. You'll make us sad.
I am not inherently a mean person, and I feel really terrible having to turn students away.
Nobody wants to do that, y'all.
When those
and it does happen.
It does.
I've seen it happen.
Yes, it does.
I volunteer.
Don't be semester. That guy.
Yeah, please
do not
submit your application.
Invite your family.
Thinking. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you guys make a bunch of plans and you make party plans and you, so make sure you're actually good to go. Never assume.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Make sure you're on track.
Never assume.
Yeah.
Check. If you need to email us like 100 times in a month before graduation, just to make sure like, we're not going to love it, but we'll answer. You know what I mean? Well,
and watch that GPA. It's not just like undergrad where you can just graduate with like a 2.0, right? Like
you've got to have, there
you
are
have
minimum
to
requirements
meet,
for
as a
master
student,
GPA.
You have to meet the 3.0. We can't award your degree.
Yeah.
That's what I understand.
And so you may think until the very last minute that you're good to go and
2.99999.
And that's going to be the really,
I assume it rounds down, right? I mean, they're not like,
We don't round up.
Who's
right?
in charge of the rounding and how much money can
Banner,
we give them?
To? Banner is in charge.
Okay.
So there's
it's
no
not
human
a person.
Touches for that.
There will be no bribes.
Yes, no bribes. And that's something that can be really heartbreaking too. Like, yeah. say,
absolutely.
Say you didn't do your accommodations and you did have really bad stress.
Yes.
Like test anxiety. That is me. I have the worst test anxiety. I can do all of the information until the test is in front of me. And then I will put down the exact opposite answer of what it should be, even though like I know somewhere in there that's not the situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that can happen at the last minute. You can potentially fail, you know, an exam or something or not pass
and
a comprehensive exam
whole...
at the last minute. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, if you're a grad student, we're not gonna let you walk. And so that's, you want to make sure that you are communicating effectively with your faculty, with your chair, with your dean, making sure that you are on track every step of the way.
And you guys, you're grad students. So we know you can do this. This is well within your capabilities, especially our online people. Again, it all comes back to, I feel like self-care also includes learning how to manage time. You have got good time management, your stress levels are going to be lower if you are disciplined, and it doesn't come naturally to a lot of people, I promise.
I have a planner hidden down here, next
to
the table.
Find whatever tools work for you and then work those tools. And part of that includes accessing our counseling and accessibility, asking questions,
advocating for yourself.
Advocating for yourselves, exactly. Asking for help when you need it. There's no shame in any of that, y'all. If you want to succeed, those are the real keys.
And so,
to success.
So for undergrads, right, it's 3 times, I think, on average for an undergrad to change their major
I changed once. So
And graduate students, I think maybe you probably change less, but like I admittedly did not finish the program that I started. And so I have courses in geology that this semester I knew it was going to be hectic. And with an MBA, you have room for electives with some other programs as well. But I was able to self-advocate and ask my advisor, hey, can we use this specific class with this, reasoning, this rationale, here's the syllabus, in place of one of my electives.
Yes.
And so that's something
that conversation
students can do is, if that doesn't fit for you, or if you have coursework that you've already completed that you think could fit.
Yeah, ask.
The worst they can say is no.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's it. They're not going to be like, oh, well, now I'm going to add additional requirements.
Or you're kicked out of the program.
Yeah.
Y'all, no, just ask. Ask and be reasonable. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, like we said earlier, keep in mind, we are all just human beings trying to do our best. So be reasonable, but ask and see if you can work with. Again, especially our faculty, especially our chairs, they want you to succeed. You looking good makes them look good. So like use that leverage. But ask.
But that's always the, applying and it's when do we need to apply for graduation for admission or graduation for graduation, just the ceremony? So is this application taking effect of, I'm going to sit in, I'm in the list. I'm reserving my spot at the ceremony and then we're good. Or does this application do something else?
So I got super sidetracked from your original question.
It's a podcast. That's literally the point.
So the graduation application, we went through most of it already. And then the next part, like aside from are you repeating any courses, is do you plan on attending a ceremony? And so there's a couple of questions on there. Are you attending the May ceremony? That is for spring graduates only, for graduate students. We do not have a summer ceremony right now. We did previously. Who knows if we'll bring it back in the future, but just pay attention to that form. Or if you're going to attend the December ceremony, we also have an option of I'm not going to attend a ceremony. I'm going to touch on that in a minute. And then your name as it appears on the diploma, as you want it to appear on the diploma. So like if I didn't want to include my middle name, I could just put my initial or I could just put my first name, last name.
Oh, okay.
Or if you're like, no, I absolutely want my 7 middle names listed on there. Like we will put that on there as long as like we can confirm that is like legally
your name,
what it should be. Cause there's it's within reason.
Got it.
And then if you're not going to attend, like, are you going to pick up your diploma at the university? Or if you are going to attend, are you going to pick your diploma up at the university or do you want it mailed? And so that's all some information that you're going to be filling out on the form. For students that, since we do have multiple campuses, we have students that live here in Alpine that are taking classes like with the international campus and vice versa. They live closer to Eagle Pass, but they're enrolled in an Alpine right. program. So it doesn't actually indicate that on the form, and that's probably something that we could make better in my office. We're constantly working on updating those things. But like, if you're in an Alpine program and you want to attend the Eagle Pass ceremony, just check that I'm attending the May ceremony. And then when you submit your graduation application to graduation@solross.edu, indicate in that email that you would like to attend the Eagle Pass ceremony.
Okay.
And vice versa.
So that's outside of the application, but yes. It is information that the registrars will need to yes. be aware of.
Because then we can make sure that your diploma, if you're going to attend there in person, then we can make sure that whoever is like putting everything together for Eagle Pass or Alpine knows to expect you and right. to have seats for seat count.
Right.
And to also have your diploma so that you can pick it up at the end of the ceremony.
If you have no holds.
Yeah, that prevent your
right
from taking it
from being released.
So once again, just being a little prepared ahead of time and communicating effectively and asking any questions you might need to ask or imparting any information you think might need to be imparted. There's no, you'd have to try really hard to do this wrong, I think. Right? I mean,
I think you would have to not try really hard to do this wrong, because I think if you just had total apathy and like no interest and like didn't do any of the paperwork,
right,
and you didn't try at all, that's probably the wrong way to go about it.
Got it.
And so if you put at least some sort of effort into it, even if it's, you know, maybe not as much as we'd prefer, we can at least kind of
work
get the questions answered from you, and you can change your mind too.
Oh, good to know.
So like at the last minute, if you're like, I wasn't going to go to the ceremony because whatever. Mm-hmm. And then your family's like, excuse me,
we want to see.
Yeah, you will be walking that stage. You can email graduation@solross.edu and you can say, hey, I've changed my mind. I am going to attend the ceremony now.
Great.
Or vice versa. Like if something comes up and you've decided, I'm not going to do it anymore. You can also just tell us, I've backed out and I'm not going to show up for the ceremony.
But regardless of if you're going to attend the ceremony or not, we do need to submit the application. If you're online and just wanting to get your master's and just want to get my master's, that's all I want. We still need to submit the application to get awarded.
Because the application, like we said earlier, is not for commencement. It has details related to commencement. The application is so that you can graduate and get your degree. So it is obviously very important to get that done.
And we do have students that regularly ask our office. So if I don't want to walk, if I don't want to participate in commencement, I don't have to pay the fee, right? Wrong. So we have individuals dedicated to reviewing your account, and that is
takes
part
time.
Of it is it's just making sure that like we can continue paying them your account and make sure that, you know, it really does. It takes time, and depending on how complicated it is, it can take a lot of time and a lot of back and forth with anybody involved. Mm-hmm. And so that's where your application fee is going. And then also to like printing out your diploma.
Yeah, because you do get it. I mean, when we do the ceremony, you do with no holds. If you have no holds, I'll emphasize, if you have no holds or past due balances, you can pick up your diploma.
That includes library
fees, ceremony.
Yes.
Yeah.
And parking tickets.
All of it.
Yeah.
So what was I wanted to? Oh, thesis requirements. If you're a thesis graduate student, and you are looking to graduate, but your thesis is let's talk about what thesis do's and don'ts for graduates. Like, where do you need to be with that? What does that need to look like? Those sorts of things. Because I understand that can hold up your graduation pretty easily, right?
Don't wait until finals week to try to pass your comprehensive exam, because that is stressful for everybody. So many people.
Nay.
I mean, that's your choice. Different choice.
Right. On the edge. Love to live.
But we are trying to manage stress and time manage.
Not super recommended. And technically, I think the catalog actually states that you have to have your comprehensive exam results in with like 10 days prior to,
good to know.
The last class day.
Okay.
And so you should really be communicating early and getting that planned and getting that settled, because then maybe you had a bad day again. We didn't do so great on the test. Do you have time to like review and go through your comprehensive exam again or your defense for your thesis before this deadline so we can get you graduated?
And some you can, I know with some degree plans, I know in the MBA or the Master's of Business Administration, we could take our comprehensive exam after, I believe, 9 or 12 hours.
Guess what? It's no longer.
I know. Back then, okay. Back but in my years.
But that might have a comprehensive.
Yeah,
not anymore.
Yeah. Not anymore. But back in my day, we had to take the comprehensive. And they would, on my degree plan, you could take it. Mm-hmm.
And it states that on your degree plan as well. Like, you have to have completed this many hours, or you have to have completed these classes. So for like thesis, you should generally have a proposal or a prospectus and your defense. And your defense is effectively your comprehensive exam. Like, that is going to be
so you have to have defended all of
there together successfully.
Successfully defended. What were we talking about? Publication. What is are there any publication?
That one I'm going to look at.
Yeah. So, and we're going to have a, hopefully when this is released, we're going to have another workshop.
Yeah, we're going to have a whole
in-person, what is it, a greet?
Meet and greet.
A meet and greet with us. So if you like to meet with us, sign your book or our podcast.
Yeah. Get our autograph.
We're going to be in person at the RAS. I don't have that information with me, but we'll send an email. Mm-hmm. It's also on the academic calendar. We have deadlines. Issued by the College of Graduate Studies. Right. So there are important deadlines of
and we put the that proposal. That is also on our grad support Blackboard organization site. So if you haven't looked at that, if you're a grad student, you are automatically enrolled in that org site on Blackboard. And then I will send out announcements every so often. So if you're getting weird announcements from like grad support at Blackboard that you don't remember signing up for, we did that for you. You're welcome. but that's where we put those important. There's so much good information on that org site. So we put out all the thesis deadlines. We put out any information you might need to know. We put out all of our workshop recordings. So if you've not checked that out yet, do check that out. It's on your Blackboard landing page. If you just go to organizations, we should pop up right there. It's such a good resource. And again, you can message us that way. And you can build communities with your grad students that way. But definitely check that out. We will be posting and should have already posted most of those deadlines.
Yeah.
We just want to make sure. I just wanted to touch upon like what about a thesis would prevent you from graduating?
If you have not successfully defended it, your paperwork has not made it to the registrar's office.
So not only successfully defended, but like that has to have been communicated properly to the registrar's office beforehand.
If we don't know that you have completed your requirements, you're not walking.
Right.
You're not graduating. Oh.
And the last minute is not the time to start arguing that or time to start trying.
I mean, you can try, but our phones will be ringing off the hook. We'll be getting like hundreds upon hundreds of emails, you know, and it's we want to help you and we're working as fast as we can, but it does get lost.
Small schools, small staff, guys, keep that in mind also. You know, keep track of your own stuff. Where is so for graduate students with questions, is the best place for their answers on the registrar's website?
It's either
about how to graduate.
Be on the registrar's website or on it's technically, I think, owned by the president's office. I'm not sure. Provost, it's kind of
I think it's under enrollment. It's enrollment. Sorry, I do this on the phone all day.
I search
enrollment, registrar, and then you have tabs on the left side and it says registry, graduation.
I just search for graduation and click like the first or second.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because that'll take you to that page and it'll have commencement information if any of that has been updated on there. We don't do ticketing right now, but like we did have the number of seats limited post COVID for a little while. That's and then as we get a larger student body and more students, you know, hopefully coming in from these online programs to walk at commencement, we may have to start limiting, you know, the number of guests. All that information should be there.
Okay.
Some of that is a little bit in flux right now for who's ultimately going to be responsible for that.
Right.
But we do have a group of individuals that are working together to make sure that that information is as up to date as we can get. Your graduation application is also going to be on there. So there's going to be a link that I'm not sure right now if it's a JOT form, if we've gotten that updated yet or not, but that is something that we are working on just to make it easier. You don't have to download anything. You don't have to figure out how to sign this form that does not want to be signed. Because we've had that happen.
Yeah,
like even if it's supposed to be fillable, sometimes they're just
Adobe can be
frustrating.
Sometimes. Yeah.
So we are working on getting a JOT form up. If it's not already up there, you'll have to be logged into your MySRSU to fill that out, same as you would for like a drop request. Or,
got it.
But then that'll email graduation directly once we have that JOT form set up. All of that information is going to be on the graduation page. together. So it's kind of everybody's information.
Check it out. Go look at it. Read the information. And then if you have questions, reach out.
And that's also where our commencement closet link
is. So the next thing that I wanted to talk about was regalia and the commencement closet.
So what is regalia? What is that?
So
that's a weird word. I'm sorry.
Regalia.
So it's going to be the gown, the stole, not the stole, the hood for graduate students.
Okay.
And the cap and tassel. So the mortarboard and the tassel. Mm-hmm. You can purchase those through the bookstore right now. We're trying to get our deadlines lined up so that if you don't apply on time for graduation, you're also not going to get your regalia.
Oh, good. Oh, well, time. Okay. All right. Yeah.
So that's another thing is if you apply earlier, then you're going to go ahead and get your regalia ordered. Even if mail is slow, you're going to get it on time.
Hopefully, yes, exactly. Or if
there's so they mail it to us, right? They wouldn't arrive here.
No, they mail it directly pick it up to the students.
Okay.
And so, but the graduate gowns are different.
I was going to say there is a difference between a grad gown and an undergrad gown.
And I did have a graduate student show up last year wearing an undergrad gown and went to deal with the hood and everything. And I was like, wait a second, you don't have the funny sleeves. Let's go get you the right gown. The hats are the same. The tassels are a different color.
Okay.
And then each program or discipline rather is going to have a hood that is a different color. So all of them are going to have the school colors in there. Mm-hmm. So they're generally going to be a kind of silver and then the crimson red. And then you're also going to have gold for science or drab brown for masters of business.
No way, it's brown.
It is not brown. It is drab brown. And
khaki, y'all.
Yeah, it's khaki or something like that. Yeah,
really? This year I'm changing programs now.
It's going to look more apricot this year because we do have a new vendor.
Acceptable.
And so it's kind of less ugly. But you don't get to pick your colors. I wish you did because peacock blue is one of them and it's so pretty. So I'm like,
that's education.
I think we should start lobbying. No, we're going to take that away from education.
These are nationally recognized.
So it's not even something we could
It's not even Sol Ross specific. Fine. The only thing that is specific on that is the silver and the crimson.
Right.
So if you want somewhere else, are you doing an MBA? You're going to get drab brown. you'll order all of those as a package online through the bookstore. It'll give you the option of ordering either undergraduate or graduate.
Okay.
So if you're working on your bachelor's, if it's the first time you've ever been in college, you don't have a degree yet, or maybe you have a 2-year degree, you're going to go for bachelor's or undergrad. If you're, I do have these questions sometimes.
No, it's fine. Totally fine. Yeah, I think
I'm graduating. You're reading it.
Exactly.
Yes.
You are a graduating student. That is correct. But you are not a graduate student. You're not working on the next
master's. Yeah, exactly.
And so
I think that's a perfectly fine distinction to make because when you're overwhelmed with too much information, some of those seemingly simple questions may just not translate well. So I totally get that. Yeah.
And so we do have, I think I just Googled that one again, or at least clicked on the graduation link today to make sure that it was working and went through it. And it took me to the bookstore. So do you want to do undergrad or graduate? I clicked on graduate. And the nice thing this year is the page has been updated, which I am so, so happy about. Last year we started with a new vendor and it listed every single program that you could ever possibly want.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Including ones that Sol Ross doesn't offer.
Yeah.
And now it is limited specifically to the ones that Sol Ross offers.
Great.
So it should be a lot less confusing.
Yes.
It was very, very confusing.
That's always the goal, right? It's minimize confusion.
Yeah. And so you'll be able to go through and be business. And it'll just say drab or, education, white or whatever the appropriate color is.
Oh, okay, cool.
And there's going to be a small selection for that.
Okay.
Graduate students do also have the option of buying a red satin stole. That is not required. Only the
is that what
hood
we give
required.
To our...
No, these are the red... All red with the seal on the bottom.
Okay. Because I know for some of our international students, we provide, I'm covering the microphone.
They don't know yet.
Some programs, kinesiology, for example, or honors programs will provide different cords or different stoles related to specific programs.
Chapters.
Or honors. None of those come through the registrar's office. None of those go through the bookstore.
That's specifically a third, because I did just get the invitation to join the honors for business thing, mm-hmm. and then like
and
the
that, that's through and the stuff. Program. So yes. okay, there is no know. Like when we're undergrads, we're like, oh well, I get the 4.0. Am I going to get my honor cord?
Right.
So it's a little different. So okay. there is no honors higher, lower within graduate school,
but it's within each program.
Yeah. Okay, so if you are in your own program and got initiated into this chapter, that's when you get that other kind of
regalia.
It's a fun word. And so we get those questions a lot too of, am I going to be an honor student? I got a 4.0. So there isn't really an honors within the master's degree.
Got it. But within the program, they might choose to recognize that or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's up to you. You have to pay the membership for some and everything. Like, yeah.
Like, yeah. So I very quickly name dropped commencement closet earlier.
You did. Go back.
And also with the, I am not attending a ceremony. A lot of times what we see is students who may not be able to afford the regalia, especially if it's like a one-time thing, like you don't anticipate ever wearing that again.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to drop a bunch of money on that necessarily, or you can't afford to. And so then that makes your decision, I'm not going to walk because I can't have the regalia.
Oh, I see. Right.
And so if that is something that you or somebody you know is running into, refer them to the commencement closet. It is a resource that is housed in the registrar's office right now, along with Katie Williams, which is our civic
engagement.
She's so many words in her title. but she and I work together closely on that to mm-hmm. have a closet of regalia. So mm-hmm. all sorts of, not sizes necessarily. We do have some different sizes, but they're a little harder to come by because you have just straight, I'm this tall. Uh-huh. And that's, you get a range of like a 3-inch difference in a gown of like 5'6" to 5'9". That's the gown you're getting.
Okay.
Sometimes you can get plus size gowns too, which I didn't see on our site as an option. So I'm going to like work on that. Cause like,
that'd be wonderful.
We had some football players that were not like big dudes, but like their shoulders would not fit in the gowns. and so we're working on like building our stash of gowns for that. But we have a collection of undergrad and graduate level gowns of varying heights, sizes. We have a collection of hoods. So if you already like have your gown, if you were able to borrow that from somebody else, or like if you were like Daphne, who already had the gown because she did one degree and then another.
Yeah. If you don't want to buy, because in the option, it does not let you just get the hood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you so I had to buy
the whole outfit, the whole regalia. Regalia. And the word of the day. and so I just need the hood.
Yeah.
And so I did apply, I think too early. I applied way too early for the commencement closet.
So you have to apply for the pieces. So
there is a jot form though. On the graduation page on the right side, there is a link to the commencement closet.
Okay.
It will ask you for your name, your height, so we can get you the appropriate sizes and things. What program are you in? So we can get you the appropriate hood if you're a graduate student. This is open to students at all levels at Sol Ross. And we will pull or work to make sure that we have the appropriate regalia able to walk the stage.
Okay.
You can check it out from us. It includes the mortarboard. It includes a tassel. If you want, it can include the red satin stole. That's not a requirement. It's just like a little extra splash. Mm-hmm. And we will have that available to you before commencement. So you can check that out. You can, if you want to work with us to get it even a little bit earlier, we can try to do that, especially if you're trying to do like graduation photos.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you can wear that to commencement. You have your regalia for commencement. You can walk the stage now.
So they don't pay any sort of like holding fee or anything. No. If it goes away, if like they keep it or
if
something.
If they keep it, just... then we're going to put a hold on their account.
That's my question. Okay.
And probably either we'll have the option of returning the regalia to us or paying.
Okay.
A certain amount because we have put a lot
into
that personally. Yes, we did the La Vida Lobo project and thankfully got funded for that. So we put our $1,000 reward from the La Vida Lobo project back into the closet to purchase more regalia because we didn't have very much.
No.
It was all dependent on students donating.
Are you still looking for donations of regalia?
Always looking
for donations of regalia. So
right now the commencement closet is primarily housed in Alpine.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have Sol Ross International And last semester, we had a lot of students from SLRS International that needed 2-hour regalia. Mm-hmm. And so we had a big old stacks of things that we sent down with different staff members as they were visiting Alpine. We sent it back. And so we're trying to build a separate commencement closet for That's Eagle Pass. Brilliant. That way we're not having to transport stuff back and forth and keep track of like how many of these do we have. You know, we had a lot of Masters of Education at like 5'5" graduate last year. And we had another one apply. I was, I don't have a gown for you. You're going to get one that's a little bit short.
Because
I'd rather give you that one than the next size up we have that's like 6 inches too long.
This is my train. Yeah.
So
I love that.
We can't guarantee that you're going to have access to it, but we will do our best to make sure that we have regalia provided for those who need it, especially if they can't afford it themselves. That is the goal.
All right. So we're getting the signal that we have hit time. No such thing. But thank you guys again so much for joining us. I know we've got a lot of really good information on this episode. So let's all just take one deep breath together. We are going to survive the semester and the one after and the one after.
And the wrap up. Exactly. And the wrap up.
We can do it. You can do it. Thank you again so much for joining us. And that's it for Mastering Grad School.
Thank you.
Thank you.